We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she'll choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.
The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
In the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon tried quite a few things to find peace and contentment. He tried wealth, he tried work, he tried education, he tried partying, but he came to the conclusion of the matter, and you find it in Ecclesiastes 12:13. He says, "This is the conclusion of a matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." Well, this is Bert Harper along with Dr. Alex McFarland, and it's our joy to come to you today, and we want you to learn how you can have contentment. After everything Solomon's tried, he said, "This is what I have learned." And I hope you won't have to try everything before you let God be Lord of your life. Let it happen now. Alex, I think we can learn a lot from Solomon in his journey through trying to find peace and contentment in his life.
Amen. Well, Bert, it's great to be with you, and I'm glad we're here today talking about the subject at hand, which is really going to be the fear of God. As I get ready, I want to say a shout out to people in Western North Carolina. I've got the privilege tonight to be speaking for a fundraiser for the Billy Graham Ministry, and they've got radio stations 106.9 The Light. And they call it Blue Ridge Broadcasting. It is part of the Billy Graham Ministry, and we're gonna. I'm gonna speak at a dinner tonight, but I'm coming to you very graciously. They've let me set up Cosmo Motors in Hickory, and Bert. Some of the car guys out there, there are Mustangs, Corvettes, and sitting out on that floor is a Cobra. And anyway, I'm a car guy, you know, so I have to give a shout out. I'm sitting amidst, and if anybody's watching on video, they can see all behind me are countless numbers of Hot Wheels and Matchbox cars and Johnny Lightning. But I'm blessed and be speaking for an event tonight for the media ministry of the Billy Graham Association.
Well, I hope that goes well, and it would be excited to be there just to see the Corvettes, the Mustangs, and all the others. But Alex, try to keep your attention off of the cars and listen. Okay. Well, it's great to be there and be a part of the Billy Graham Ministry. Just to be there for a fundraiser would be awesome.
Well, you know, you were reading from Ecclesiastes 12:13-14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Now, there are other things. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And, you know, we mentioned a couple of days ago that in 1 John 3, it says, "This is his commandment, that you believe on Jesus Christ, whom he has sent." And, Bert, for just a moment, and I know you and I were talking about it earlier, we were talking about that there doesn't seem to be, nowadays, a lot of the fear of God. And somebody might say, well, fearing God? I thought God is love. I thought God is grace. Well, yes, he is those things. But I'm going to just lay something out there. Almighty God, who sustains the universe, who knows all things, every word we say, every motive of our heart. And by the way, Ecclesiastes 12:14 says that every secret thing will be brought into judgment. Bert, I think there should be a fear of God, a reverence, a humility before God, and yes, the fear of God in every person's heart.
Well, Alex, I would agree with you. Matter of fact, let me give you another scripture, and this is in the New Testament. It's in Hebrews 10:31. And it says this, and the way the King James says it, and I'm going to read it, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the angry God. And what would make God angry? This is the question I had. What would make God? Well, what I did, I cited, you know, Jesus was God in the flesh, and we had two or three times in the Bible that we find Jesus expressing, they say, oh, not anger, righteous indignation, if you don't want to call it anger. But it says in John chapter 2 and in Luke chapter 19, two different times he goes into the temple. He's there in Jerusalem. He goes into the temple, and guess what they find in the court of the Gentiles of the court of the temple? Money changers. So yes. He takes a whip and runs them out and overturns those tables. Luke chapter 19, the last week of his life, after he comes in and they're singing, Hosanna, you know, praise God, he's here, Hosanna, Messiah, you know, all the things that they were thinking and saying, and he goes in and cleanses the temple again. Where at? In the court of the Gentiles. Now, a lot of folks don't know that the temple had, quote, a court of the Gentiles, Alex. But that was the mission. True. That was the missional part of the temple. Everything God has done. We've talked about this over and over again. Calling the Jewish people the chosen race. Chosen for what? Chosen to be God's instrument of demonstration of who He is here upon earth through our lives. Because the Bible says, "Be holy, for God is holy." And when that gets in the way of us, of the God's people, whether they be Jews or whether it be the church today, when we are not on mission for God, let me just share with you, I think there's some anger there on God's part, because He saved us because He loved us, but He's kept us here to serve Him, Alex, and that serving is to what? Know Him and to make Him known.
Amen. Amen. Well, you know, you mentioned there the Ecclesiastes 12:13 about fearing God, that this is the whole of the matter. And I looked up the word fear. It's a Hebrew word. And you know what? Not surprisingly, it means to fear or to be afraid of.
Yeah.
Now, I want to be very clear that if you are saved, you've put your faith in Jesus, your sins are washed away. You know, we don't have to have a fear of judgment. But we need to remember that forever and always, God is God. Now, if somebody is unsaved, and you know you need to turn to Christ, and you've not done that yet, you know you need to live by the Word of God, and you're not doing that, you should be afraid of God, because there's judgment. But let me just say this, that even as a born-again believer, we're to have a reverence of God. Proverbs 1:7 and Proverbs 9:10 both basically say the same thing, two verses. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, Proverbs 1:7 says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge or wisdom, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 9:10, which greatly influenced A.W. Tozer, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. Bert, do you remember that book, Knowledge of the Holy?
I do. Yes, I do.
Yeah, in the Gospels and through the Word of God, we have a personal experience with Almighty God, the knowledge of the Holy, and yet even still, the most devout Christian in the world is right to carry within his heart the fear of the Lord.
So here in Proverbs 9:10, you have wisdom and knowledge, and both of them are in connection with the Lord God. You got that? You will not have true wisdom, I'm just say that, and true knowledge without this relationship that comes. And yes, there's wisdom of the world. There's the wisdom of finance. There's the wisdom of politics. They call it spin these days. You know, if you know how to set something up. But true wisdom and true knowledge is of God. The fear of the Lord, and that is God, who He is. And then the Holy One, the knowledge of the Holy One. the Bible does say, and I've already said it, you know, be ye holy, for I am holy. So God is holy. For us to have this kind of wisdom and this kind of knowledge, he needs to come into view. And we find him representing himself or demonstrating himself, revealing himself in creation. Then he gave us the law. He gave us the temple to demonstrate the tabernacle. Then he gave us the prophets. But according to Hebrews, in these last days, he's given us the Son, Jesus Christ. And what would Jesus say? If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. So, Alex, when I read this, Proverbs 9 and 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding or insight. Alex, listen, it begins and ends with Jesus Christ, doesn't it?
It really does. It really does. And, you know, you and I have taught through Proverbs, and I love, if I could, you know, camp out just a little bit in Proverbs 9 there, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself, but if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it. Now what that means is we will give an account for what we did with the knowledge that we had. And if you are wise, you will fear God, and it will lengthen your days. And essentially, what 11 and 12 are saying of Proverbs 9 is, if you humble yourself before God, you're only helping yourself, you know? Now, let me just say, without elaborating too much, I'm a news junkie. In the news, in the pop media, in the culture, even elected officials advocating for things that we know the Bible says are ungodly. Bert, we look like a culture that really doesn't fear God. We're not living within his commandments. We're not humble before a God who sees everything. And people say, oh, but God is a God of love. Yes, he is. But God is also a God of judgment. And I'm going to say this, Bert, as I read my Bible, God is a God of wrath. There is punishment for sin in this life. Unless you're born again, there's punishment for sin in the next life. And when I look at who God is and what a finite, tiny little thing all of we sinners are, yeah, I'm saved, and it puts the fear of God in my heart, brother.
I'm along with you. Now, let me give you another verse in Proverbs that I think accentuates that, Alex. It's in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7. Now, this, what you just said, really, I think this is the capstone of it. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It's a great, great version. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Now, don't be impressed with your own wisdom. This is what you were talking about, Alex. We think we've been awakened in wokeness. You know, but the Bible says there's really nothing new under the sun. Guess what's happened to every country, every society that is going down this, I would say, this path of doing that which is right in their own eyes, as they did in the book of Judges and what it would lead to. This is the path. It always leads. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. In other words, don't let pride get up. That's what Lucifer did. He wanted to be like God, really wanted to be higher than God. He wanted to be the God. And what did it result? Being kicked out of heaven. He's trying to get even ever since. But don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, something far better. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Alex, fearing God and turning away from evil, this is exactly what you were saying. They go together. We'll be back with more right after this break here on Exploring the Word. Meet Kelsey. When she found out she was pregnant, she wasn't sure where to turn. After meeting with the counselors at Preborn Network Clinic, who loved and supported her, and after hearing the baby's heartbeat on a free ultrasound, she chose life.
Wow. when a mother looks at her child through a sonogram, it does something to you. You know, I ended up deciding to keep my son, who is now 5 years old today. He's amazing. He brings absolute joy to my heart. I could not imagine life without him. Not only did they help me save his life, they saved my life.
By introducing a woman to her baby on ultrasound, a baby's chances at life doubles. If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, helping to rescue 200 babies. To donate, dial 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com/Bert Harper. My deliverer, you rescue me from all the hell me captive. My deliverer, you set me free. Now I'm alive and I can live. So every moment I will give you praise. My deliverer.
We're talking about the fear of God on this edition of Exploring the Word. Alex McFarland, Bert Harper here. The number, I'm going to give the number because maybe you have a Bible question or you want to weigh in and comment on this. The number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. In Psalm 111, verse 10, again, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever." Bert, one more verse, and I'll throw it to you. Proverbs 10:27, "The fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be cut short." Bert, you and I were talking earlier. I think people are very brazen. They're bold in their sin, whether it be moral issues, whether it be teaching kids progressive, woke, leftist, immoral, anti-God, anti-American, globalist ideas, and the Bible warns us about damaging a little one. But I'm just going to say it. We are a nation that needs to turn back to God. We need to turn to the Word of the Bible. We need to repent of sin because I feel like the way our culture seems to be unraveling, this looks like the beginning of judgments already because we're not living as a people that fears God.
Alex, you said it. It is true. It is obvious. Let me give you another psalm that I think accentuates that. Again, I'm using that word because what we're trying to do is compound this, kind of like compound interest. It grows and grows. What Alex and I are wanting to do is let you see that fear, the fear of the Lord is wisdom. It's really wisdom. Listen to this, Psalm 36:1, again, the New Living Translation. "Sin whispers to the wicked deep within their hearts. They have no fear of God at all." So here it is, sin, which is, it is demonic, it is selfishness, it is the whole idea, the world system, Satan himself, our nature, it's compounded, and sin whispers to the wicked deep within their hearts. "As a man speaketh in his heart, so is he. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he." So is going after your mind, your will, your emotions. And this is where sin is whispering and trying to get you to follow him, Satan. And this is demonic. It really is. And Alex, right now, and we are praying, there's been a great exit from the United Methodist Church over the last 3 or 4 years, close to 8,000 that have become part of the global Methodist Church. But they're having the general conference of United Methodists, the United States, and even those in Africa. But the African people are not able to come here. A lot of them could not come. And they didn't get a lot of help from them coming because they're very conservative, and they didn't really want them to steer them back to the foundations of the Methodist Church. And so we're finding out right now, we need to pray for them. There's those it's already gotten out. You were at a church last Sunday at a church that had been a part of United Methodist, and they came out. They're all over. We have a lot of them all over the United States, and it's even getting that way where they are probably will affirm the woke idea. We won't get into all the ideas, but what is it? It's sin whispering and wanting to go along with sin. That's the whole idea, regardless of what sin it is. But they have no fear of God at all. They have bought the idea that we're on the throne. You know, I have a right. It's human rights. Now, we're not diminishing human rights of making a living, of working, of living. No, we're not talking about that. But we're saying that these rights that man has grasped or tried to grasp on their own are really a detriment to society and not a help to society. We've been bought with a price as believers. We're to glorify God in our bodies. And so those that are not believers, because of the founding fathers and their deep knowledge of the Scripture and seeing how God is at work, and they had a reverence for the Word of God, the Ten Commandments, they put that within that Constitution, but getting further and further away from it. Because of why? That's what we're studying. No fear of God. Alex, when you don't have that fear of God, sin whispers, it runs deep within the heart of men, and men begin to act on their own, and they're doing that which is right in their own eyes. Is that a picture of the direction we're going here in America?
I think it is. Bert, well said. Let me talk about the two wonderful gifts God has given the human race to teach us truth. One is the law of God written on every heart. Romans tells us that the law of God, the Ten Commandments, really are known to all people. In the legal world, they call it natural law or self-evident truth. We know right from wrong, but then we've got the witness of Scripture. And I want to come back to those that twist and distort Scripture. And then, of course, we've got the Holy Spirit calling out to us. And then we've got the witness of the church and other Christians. And even, Bert, I'm going to say this, things like parents or grandparents that try to correct a child, and even a school teacher that reprimands us, all of these, the corrections, the disciplines that we need along the journey of life, if we are wise, we will listen to the voice of correction and be teachable. That's why it's so dark. You know, these students, two in the last week, students hitting their teacher. Let me say, we need to really pray for the Spirit of God and conviction to fall on this nation, because, I mean, there was a day, I mean, for a child to strike an adult teaching, that's just unacceptable. But let me say, rebellion and unteachability and just hatred of the voice of authority, that's demonic. Now, regarding those like denominations, the PCUSA, the United Methodist Church, from which many churches are leaving, thank God, Revelation 22:18, regarding the woke twisters of Scripture. For I testify unto you that every man who hears the words of this book, if any man shall add to these things, God will add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things written in the book. So we can't add to Scripture like the cults do. We can't take away from Scripture like the liberals do. And Bert, in 1 John 2:18-22, and I'll be brief and I'm going to throw it back to you, but 1 John 2, little children, it is the last time. In other words, these are the last days. And as you have heard that the Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know it is the last time. And it says, who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denies the Father and the Son. Okay, so One of the litmus tests for orthodoxy is if you accept that Jesus is who he claimed to be, the Son of God, virgin-born, sinless Messiah, the one and only Savior. And to deny that Jesus is the only way, to say, well, oh, maybe Jesus is a way, but everybody's got their ideas, that's the mindset of Antichrist. And Bert, regarding the professed Christians and even some clergy that somehow or another they think they can declassify what the Bible calls sin, 1 John 2:19 says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, in other words, if they had truly been born-again believers, they no doubt would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Now, Bert, here's the litmus test. Obviously, if you accept Christ, the Son of God, but also if you accept Scripture, the Word of God. And I think as we get farther down the road of history, and so many things are now acceptable that we once would have shuddered in fear and repentance, I think we're seeing who's got fidelity to Jesus and his word and who doesn't.
I agree. Casual Christianity. When I was growing up, that you would hear that quite a bit because the church was so important to society. And yes, you had those that just were a part of it because that was the thing to do. We understand that. Now it's not the thing to do to be a part of a church. That's kind of gone away. And so we are staying with Christ. And we've got people, we've opened up our lines a little early today, so we're going to take calls a little early. But let's go back to where we started, Ecclesiastes 12:13, Alex. It says here, it is what we want to know, the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For you to really have peace, for you to really have what we would call true happiness, joy, it's through a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's through knowing who he was and responding to who he is in faith, knowing he died on the cross, knowing that he was buried and rose again, and he who knew no sin became sin. He was the supreme sacrifice. All that was needed when he was on the cross says, it is finished, or paid in full. And so you can have peace with God today by saying, Lord, I am a sinner. I cannot save myself. And I know my best is as filthy rags in your sight. So I'm coming today, turning away from my sin, turning to you, asking you to save me. Be Lord of my life now and forever. Come into my life, Lord Jesus. If you've done that, praise God, we'd love to hear from you. But if you need further counsel, there's a number that you can call. It's 888-NEED-HIM. They're there. They're ready to pray with you, talk with you, help you in any way that they can. With Alex, with that in mind, are you all right going to the phone lines early today?
Let's do it. The number 888-589-8840. And, Bert, we're always honored to hear from the listeners, aren't we?
We are. That's one of the reasons we love this show. We love to, two things. We love to open the Word of God, study the Word of God, and we love to hear from people that we might point them to Jesus Christ. That's the bottom line. Well, let's go to Texas and talk to Jake. Jake, thank you for calling.
Hey, guys. Thank you so much for taking my call, man. I love y'all's show, and I like, you know, being fed the Word of God and the way y'all preach it and stuff.
Thanks.
I just had a couple questions. My first question was, these Christian people came up to me and told me that eating pork and selling it, like pork skins and stuff, is an abomination to God, and I can't get to heaven that way, and that he doesn't like that, and that y'all believe only in the New Testament and not the Old Testament. And another thing is, another question is, when they say Jesus died for our sins, does it say he died for all of our sins or just like the past sins, you know?
Okay, Jake, that's a lot. So, Alex, let me do one. Jake, they talked about the Old Testament not being relevant, New Testament, and they say pork is out. That's where they got the Old Testament. The New Testament in Acts chapter 10, God told Peter, what I've cleansed. And guess what? Came down from heaven on a sheet, all kinds of animals. So, Jake, concentrate on Acts 10 for that answer. Alex, would you take it further?
Well, guess what I had for lunch a couple hours ago?
Barbecue.
I did. I had pork barbecue. I really did. Yeah, brother, read Acts chapter 10. And you see, when Jesus died on the cross, he completely fulfilled the Mosaic law. And when you put your faith in Jesus, you have fulfilled the law. And I'll tell you how. Christ's righteousness and Jesus' complete fulfillment of the entirety of the Mosaic law, you have fulfilled. You say, but I didn't really do it. You're right, but we are righteous before the Father based on the righteousness of Christ. So yeah, in Acts 10, 13 and following, where God says, look, fish, beef, chicken, pork, you can eat it all because the law is fulfilled in Jesus. Now, on the cross, I believe Jesus paid for the entire sins of the world. The Bible says that he was our sin bearer. Now, the sins of the entire human race, 8 billion people alive right now, 75 or so billion that have ever lived, all of our guilt, all of our condemnation before God was poured onto Jesus. And that's why, because of Christ, infinitely righteous, he paid for human sin, unrighteousness. And that's why, Bert, hallelujah, whosoever will may come, whosoever will. Because if you put your faith in Jesus, he paid all of your guilt and your sins will be washed away.
Paid in full, and really that is part of that word. It is finished. Paid in full. Full means it all. Before,
past, present, future.
Yes, it does. So praise the Lord. Jake, keep listening, and thank you for that good call. We don't have a lot of time, but we're going to at least get William's question in. William from Illinois, thank you for calling Exploring the Word.
Getting into Revelation, we're going to have this situation where nobody will be wanting to repent, even under the wrath of God. Getting to the reprobate mind, I'm just wondering, I've heard that called eternal security to hell. And there's a line that man can cross like Niagara Falls. You can go so far, and it says, do not go beyond this point. You won't get back. So I'll leave it with you guys. Thank you today.
Okay, bye. William. Well, we're going to get to Romans chapter 1 about the reprobate mind. We know individuals can have it. Alex, after the break, let's discuss if a nation develops a reprobate mind as a whole. Mm. There may be holdouts. God always has his remnant. But a nation can kind of go that way. We're going to talk about that, William. Thank you for calling today. And we'll be back with more right after the break. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That is why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on us. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps to rescue 5 babies. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
You weren't there the night it found me. You did not feel what I felt when he wrapped his love all around me. And you don't know the cost of the oil in my alabaster.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. We're taking phone calls, and we had William talking about a reprobate and a line that is crossed. Now, Alex, I'll put this line to you. Do we know exactly where that line is, or it in the mind of God, or has he shared that with us out of Scripture?
You know, we don't know when that line is, but I got to tell you, for those that we witness to and we urge people to turn to Christ, but even more personally for our own heart, the time to obey God is the minute you sense the Holy Spirit calling. I think last week I might have, and correct me if I get this wrong again, J. Harold Smith, was he the one who preached God's three deadlines?
That is it, yes. We've got good listeners. I used to be their pastor. I don't call them by name. They're probably listening. They texted me real quick right after we said that because I said E.J. Daniels, wasn't him. And then Brent looked it up. Yes, it was J. Harold Smith.
And yeah, you know, Angie and I had the privilege of hearing him. He was quite elderly, but he came to Liberty University probably in the early 90s and preached in chapel, preached at Thomas Road, and he preached about God's three deadlines. And, you know, let me just say, somebody might wake up one day, and I know a lot of people don't like to talk about this, but let's say you're thinking about God and you say, look, I need to get right with the Lord. I've procrastinated. And see, you have no guarantee that tomorrow the Holy Spirit is going to be calling you as he might be calling you right now. You have no guarantee you'll even be here tomorrow. None of us do. I mean, none of us really have a guarantee of an hour from now. But right this moment, if you sense the Lord calling you to repent and turn to Jesus, you need to do that. Now, in Romans chapter 1, it talks about the wrath of God is revealed from heaven, and then it goes on and it talks about, you know, if people will not be thankful, will not give glory to God, changing the glory of God into an incorruptible image of man or beast. In verse 24, and this is crossing that invisible deadline, but a very real line nonetheless. Wherefore, God also gave them up to the uncleanness through the lust in their heart. Bert, when God stops calling, when the conscience is finally dead, when God has let you go, given up, that's terrifying to think of, isn't it?
It really is. And so that's why God says today's the day. When you say no to God, honestly, it hardens your heart a little bit more. So you want to say yes. The fool has said in his heart, no God. That's the actual Hebrew word. Is it saying there is no God? Yes. But it may be also translated saying no to God. And so say yes to him. Whatever he asks you to do, it's the fear of God, it's wisdom, you know, would make you want to do that, and I pray you would. Thank you, William. Let's go to Texas and talk to Tina. Tina, thank you for calling, Exploring the Word.
Hi, how are you guys?
We're doing great this day. Thank you for calling.
I love your program. I love listening to you, to y'all. Okay, my question is, 1 Kings 21, 28 to 29, when talking about King Ahab being such a horrible king, but God shows him mercy and will not bring disaster on him, but on the next generation, like on his children and grandchildren. I don't understand that. I would rather God, you know, bring disaster on me than my children and grandchildren. Am I not seeing something here?
Hey, I think you're answering that like a parent would. Tina, I understand your thinking, but it gives opportunity. Have you ever heard of the story of Nineveh? And when Jonah went and preached to them, they repented in sackcloth and ashes. Now, the judgment would come, but it came later because they repented. Alex, one more. Rehoboam, Solomon turned away from God. You know, he did some things, turned back to God. But then when he took over, Rehoboam, he did not follow God. You see that, and I want to make it real quick, and I'll throw it to you. I don't want to answer too long, but this brings up this story. David would serve God with all of his heart. Solomon, I do believe he is saved, but he had some issues. You'd say kind of half a heart or half a life, but Rehoboam had no heart. There's this tendency of generational slide. Now, it's not a promise. It's not a principle. It's a tendency that you see all through the scripture. And so, Tina, I'd say God's given opportunity for the next generation to turn back to God. Go ahead, Alex.
Bert, that was very well said. You know, it's like in Exodus when it says, there arose a generation that did not know Joseph or Joseph's God. Generational slide, unless we are very intentional, very proactive, very dedicated to passing the faith on to the next generation. Regarding the deeds of the parents having ramifications for the children, Bert, I see that all the time. I've ministered to youth that were the children of parents on drugs or alcohol or in jail, and the poor little children hadn't done anything, but they were born into a world where sin and the repercussions of sin were very real. Now, God can rescue, redeem, and change lives. But my goodness, isn't it a beautiful thing when the legacy and the inheritance left by the parent is one of righteousness, fearing God, and serving Christ? That's a beautiful thing rather than the other.
Amen. And you want to pray for that. We're a generation, we're praying. I grew up hearing Christianity is one generation from extinction. So you want to pass it on. You want to hand the baton off. It's like a relay race. You run your course. But there's two things that's got to take place. The baton has to be offered, and the baton has to be received. And so those of you whose parents were serving the Lord, receive that faith, receive that baton. Those of us that are going on, may we hand that baton of faith on to the next generation. That's what we want to do. Thank you, Tina. Go ahead, Alex.
And moms and dads, instill within your children an ethic of churchmanship.
Amen.
We go to church. We're in Sunday school. We go to worship. We tithe. We volunteer. We serve on committees if need be. And I'm old school. Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And I know some have Wednesday night, but not Sunday night services or vice versa. But impart to your children just a core value that our family, we're in church.
Dr. Adrian Rogers, isn't it time? I don't think we've quoted him this week yet, so we better get it in, don't you think, Alex?
Amen. Yes.
He said, when you go to church on Sunday morning, you're saying to the world, we believe in Jesus. We still believe. So make it that way. Do that. Let's go to Tennessee and talk to Joseph. Joseph, thank you for calling.
Thanks, Bert and Alex. Huge fan. I have a question for you about Hebrews 12:1. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I was having a discussion with my mom the other day about that, and we both were kind of confused by it, of what it was referring to with the great a cloud of witnesses. And I said, well, I know what to do. I'll call Bert and Alex.
Way to go, Joseph. Hey, that's the reason we had two books. People said, we'll call Bert and Alex. And by the way, you can get those two books at AFA Resource Center if you want one of those. They're 100 questions, each one of them that are answered. And they are helpful, like questions just like we get on Exploring the Word. Let me say this, and I'll throw it to you, Alex. A lot of times when we have scripture like that surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, and you see who has gone before them, when you read chapter 11 and you see that those great men and women of God that have witnessed, they have surrounded us. We've got the motivation. But I really do believe we're not sure about what people know in heaven about what's going on. But there's no doubt in my mind that those in heaven are pulling for us down here, and we're surrounded by those witnesses as well. Because I've said this before, when it says when one sinner is saved, the angels in heaven just glorify the Lord. Alex, if they're glorifying the Lord and I'm in heaven, I'm going to run over and find out who it was. So I think we got a lot of witnesses on both sides, those that have gone before us, but also those that are already in heaven as well. Go ahead.
Amen. Well, brother, this is a great call because, you know, Hebrews chapter 11, there's all these great people, you know, from Rahab to Samuel and all these people that were willing to die for the sake of the Lord. And it says that they had not fully received the promise of Messiah. In other words, they didn't have all the knowledge you and I have. I mean, we know the tomb is empty. We know Christ is risen. And I mean, if the saints of old could just fully give their life for God, how much more so could we, knowing all that we know about the gospel? I will say this is very interesting. Compassed about by such a great cloud of witnesses. In other words, there are the saints of old in heaven now, perhaps rooting for us from the grandstands of heaven. The word cloud is a similar word for our spirit, the nephesh, the breath of God. So in other words, this great bundle of souls. And Bert, let me just say, I know you've heard that old saying, secret sin on earth is open scandal in heaven. Because, you know, man might not see what we're doing in secret, but God certainly does. And maybe the saints in heaven do as well. Let's remember to live righteously.
Amen. Amen. Joseph, thank you. Hey, Bob dropped off. I don't know all the reasons why, but I was interested in answering his question, so I'm going to ask it. And Alex, you hit. Bob was wanting to know, does God hear the prayers of unbelievers?
Well, there's at least one that he hears, which is the sinner's prayer. Because, you know, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, save me. I mean, that's the prayer of a sinful person. Do you remember many decades ago, Bailey Smith, who he's in heaven now, he was a Baptist evangelist. There was a lot of controversy when he said God doesn't hear the prayers of the unsaved. Look, I think God can hear whatever prayer he wants to hear and answer as he sees fit. And I know lost people who said that, in fact, one person I know said he was almost in a car wreck and he said, oh God, help me. And he would have died in a car wreck, but he didn't. And later he came to the Lord. So God can hear the prayers of the unsaved. He can intervene. But if you're not his born-again child, God's not really obligated to. Bert, is that a fair?
That is right. Now, hearing is the key word. I guarantee you God hears everything. The Bible says there's nothing hidden from us, from him, okay? So he hears it, but does he respond to it? Well, God doesn't have to respond to the prayer of unbelievers, except that prayer, oh, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, you know, and be saved. Mm-hmm. But he chooses to sometimes. Alex, I've heard many. You just gave one. But if you're a believer, now how is he going to answer? That doesn't mean he's going to say yes. He may say no, or he might say not now, not yet. You know, there's some things that need to happen before this takes place. So if you're lost, pray this prayer. Lord, I need you in my life. I repent. I turn away from my sin, and I turn to you. If you'll pray that prayer, I guarantee you God will hear you. Let's go to Texas for the last call of the day. Norman, thank you for holding, and thank you for calling.
Yes, thank you, Bert and Alex. I really appreciate your show.
Bless you.
Wanted to ask about the thousand-year reign, y'all's views on it. This is because of something my pastor brought up in a couple of his sermons. Is the thousand-year reign going on now? Is it an actual thousand years? Is it a point of contention within the Christian denomination?
Alex, don't have a lot of time. Go ahead and answer.
Yeah, you know, I believe that the thousand-year millennium is a literal thousand years, that Jesus will rule and reign, you know, here on earth after the tribulation, after the Battle of Armageddon. Now, is it a point of contention in the church? Yeah, it can be. It doesn't really have to be. And there were a lot of people that thought it was maybe an allegory. And this is really in Revelation 20, verse 5, that the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Revelation 20, verse 3 speaks of the 1,000 years and that Satan is bound up. Bert, I think it's literal. Let me just say this. Before the reconstitution of the nation of Israel in May of 1948, I can see where some people might have thought some prophecies were maybe symbolic, but it's literal, real, rock-solid truth. I think that's undeniable at this point.
I think it is. Well answered. And Norman, great question. Let me see. Tomorrow is Friday. Does something happen special on Friday on Exploring the Word, Alex?
Hey, let's make it a Fire Away Friday.
You mean questions the whole time?
Let's do it. And folks, tune in and tell somebody about it.
Yes, we want you to. And thank you for listening to Exploring the Word on AFR. And we want you to tell others about this program, but more importantly, tell them about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
We'd like to thank Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day their network clinics rescue 200 babies. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.